Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm taking a little different approach here on some issues that have begun to emerge in my mind anyway about the impact of work on children and youth. We spend a lot of time focusing on work stress and health for adults, and is a concept that I think is missing in the evaluation and the work and the interventions that we're doing when it comes to children and youth. And especially in a regulatory arena where I work, where everybody wants to, you know, just look at the injury data and, oh, that's not so bad because we don't have that many injuries over there, and so we won't regulate that occupation. But then we don't look at the hours of work as in the way that we need to as well, related to work intensity, working conditions, and that may impact other areas of adolescent development and youth health and well-being. What I have to say, mostly I'm referring to youth under 18 in the U.S. and internationally, so it's not just like, it's not just looking at, this would apply across borders. I'd like to acknowledge people that I do know in the field who are looking at psychosocial impacts of work on children internationally. These are some of the colleagues I've met over the years and utilized some of their research. I think Charles Dickens says it well, that in their little worlds in which children have their existence, there's nothing so finely perceived and so finely felt as injustice. The issue is for me here is that this is a relatively occult sort of issue for children and even adults based on some things that I'll mention here about our some of the assumptions, the good and the bad and the ugly. Childhood is a time for emotional, psychological, cognitive, and personality development. These are my basic assumptions. I should also say I'm not representing the Washington State Department of Labor and Industries. That's for identification purposes only, and my opinions and views are my own. And that we also know that children are more vulnerable to all kinds of exposures, and that would include certain kinds of working conditions due to their physiologic, psychological, immaturity, rapid growth and development, many things you all know. The work environment and nature of work are interconnected and impact health, and likely because of what we know about developmental issues, impact children and youth even more. There's a great deal of work that's inappropriate for children and youth, and that these hazards contribute, so physical hazards also contribute to the stress responses for children that may have long-term impact that we're not even beginning to understand. And of course, these long-term mental health impacts impact their health outcomes and et cetera, and some of these things may not actually ever be reversed. So again, as I mentioned, primarily research on work stress and health has focused on adult workers. I've tried to elicit, or solicit, or whatever the word, cajole my adult research friends that, well, you're all adults. I mean, I don't know. People who research this among adults to take the same models and apply them to children. Now I'd like to apply to children, in researchers who research adolescent and child injury, workplace injury, to think about some of these other issues as you develop questionnaires and assessments. We primarily focus on injury and other health hazards, but their psychosocial development may be hindered by some of the hazards, the psychosocial hazards at work, as well as some of the other impacts of generally working. But this is very difficult to research. So this is the I've borrowed this from other researchers to sort of also have you think about this model in the context of youth employment and how we look at this in terms of the outcomes that they may be experiencing, both as a result of the physical work environment and the conditions they may experience as a result of work. Now, in the world of work, especially internationally, but here as well, we have different ways of defining what work is. Sometimes we think of child work as being a normal part of contribution to the family and the community life, and here's some examples we might see. But in my work, where we regulate parental employers, parents as employers of their own children, there's a great, and where many of them do get injured and killed, there's a great deal of work, inappropriate work, dangerous work assigned by parents, and they often have really no clue. And I will say this, parents know a lot about what's right for their children, but they are not health and safety professionals, and they really don't get the guidance they need to put some limitations. In child labor world, we talk about work. In the IL, in the international instruments, we talk about youth under 15. Unfortunately, we in the U.S. allow for 14, so I should really have this describing 14 to 17-year-olds, and that includes hours of work. That hazardous working conditions, in my opinion, also include hours of work, work intensity, how many, how late. I've been under, you know, I've had to deal with allowing employers to let kids work 12 and 15-hour night shifts driving combines in contrary to our state child labor rules. Of course, we know there's some very worse forms of child labor as well that we know have other significant impacts on youth. So we've had instruments to protect children since 1924, the Declaration of the Rights of the Child came under the League of Nations, 1959, the Declaration of the Rights of the Child, 1989, the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, and 1999, ILO Convention 182. So universally, people define child as anyone under 18. Also, kind of universally, these instruments implore and direct governments to protect children from dangerous work and to get an education. It's actually mandatory education laws that helped restrict child labor in many places. And then the other elements that's kind of universal in these instruments is that work by its nature or circumstances is likely to harm the health, safety, and morals of children. So we have not ratified the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. We don't want the U.S. government, as I understand this, does not want to have to be in the position of verifying such a ratification. And we did sign the ILO Convention 182, but then we were cited by the World Court for violating it due to our lack of protections under the agriculture rules. So these are some examples in the ILO Convention 182, and I'm going to highlight just the two top ones because these are the areas where we mentioned psychological impacts or under difficult conditions such as long hours, late night, confined by an employer. And then the other ones tend to be the common ones we look at with regard to some of the hazardous orders or regulations in restricting work for kids. And we know they're not protective enough. They're not really comprehensive enough. And there's plenty of violations of them, as I have encountered as well. So, and these are some examples that I think start to bring us into the realm of looking more at the conditions of work that may actually impact the psychosocial, more stress-related, overt stress-related impacts. And I actually get calls from teenagers and their parents a lot about that last one that's subject to intimidation. I mean, that is one thing that I hear a lot. Even at a Baskin-Robbins, you name it, where they're in serious bullying and hostile work environment and intimidation. So this is a model that is used by adult researchers. So I've tried to lay it out like this to show some of the work exposures that all of these things that children and youth are exposed to that also lead to injury, illness, and also psychosocial impacts that we need to be thinking about and looking at. This was one of our models when we first changed our non-agriculture child labor rules. It's really still one of my favorite ones, is the youth who work have two jobs, education and employment. And in my personal opinion, it's education that is their primary job. While they're in high school, they only have 4 years to be in high school. They have the rest of their life to work. And as I tell teens, you'll be sick of it by the time you're my age talking to people your age. But that doesn't really always go over very well. And I'm also starting to talk about employment in two different levels, meaning income-based or career-based, because those are very different reasons that we want to promote work. Work is good, but it has to be in balance. We are hearing more and more about the work ethic, that if a little work is good, then a lot is better, and exposing them early to dangerous situations has come up more and more. And we just have to look at it as if there's a continuum about what is appropriate. I happen to think the workplace is an adult setting, and I will say this to employers. There's adult bottom line, adult productivity goals, adult responsibilities, adult hazards. We have to have a human factors ergonomic view when we place kids in the workplace so that we accommodate them and their needs, but it's not a given that employers know how to do that or care. So these are some of the types of impacts that prepared this, I wanted to kind of identify the types of impacts that work may have, both physical and, some of these are definitely extremes, but we do see examples of these also in the U.S., not just internationally. I also think this issue of, in the mental health side, the impact of post-traumatic response due to injuries, severe injuries. We have not really been evaluating the impact of early work experiences, both for them now as well as their career choices and what happens to them down the line. There's also, this issue of the more kids work, the more they're around adult behaviors, which aren't always so stellar, and actually has contributed to certain delinquent, there's research that shows truancy, drug use, smoking, et cetera. So, again, also having too much responsibility at an early age. I know that there are a lot of kids doing things at the workplace, especially even alone. Even though we don't permit them to be alone after a certain hour of the day, they can be alone at other times of the day, which is also a risk for them at the workplace. So some of these things I've already talked about, and I won't go into further right now. There's impact, again, when I say child labor, I'm also meaning youth, adolescents, that depending on the severity. And there's more and more research that kids are not in school and at the high school age. And more kids are out there trying to work, or they're not working, as the case may be in some situations. So, you know, you have to look at this depending on what the setting may be. So it does deprive children and adolescents of a normal, just other age-appropriate activities and some things that are more important to be doing than having a job and flipping burgers. And so that some of these things may actually, they affect them individually, obviously, all these impacts that I'm talking about, but it also affects the community in the long run in terms of the lower educational attainment, maybe they will, that lower income jobs, and we've just seen a study that lower high school graduation rates impact their own personal and public health outcomes in the long run. Disruption to families, we have an unprepared adult workforce, poor health of the population. So all these things, again, will vary depending on setting. There are some tools that are being used out there and developed by some of the people I acknowledged at the beginning, and it's looking at, you know, what is the resilience of these youth when they're engaged in work that's actually impacting them in a negative way. We need to look at their self-esteem, their self-concept, certain attachments or a sense of confidence and competence. And what are, you know, I would, when I worked in a primary care clinic, I would see a lot of young people who were having these somatic impacts from work. Stress, there was anxiety, fatigue, headaches, insomnia, gastrointestinal problems, and I think we're not really paying attention to that. And maybe reaching our healthcare professionals will be a way to also talk about some of this. So obviously we need more research on these issues and apply some of the same concepts that we do to adults. Education has to be, I think, their primary goal while they're under 18. And in some countries, this is a problem in terms of making it mandatory and available and accessible. So Oliver Tambo, ANC President, African National Congress President, mentioned in one of his speeches that children of any nation are its future, a country, a movement, a person that does not value its youth and children does not deserve its future. And I have some serious concerns about the erosion of child labor protections that I've been seeing and threats that I am concerned about also in Washington State, but have then also happened at least in 5 states that I'm aware of recently. I would just like to be able to start to quantify some of these other impacts that may have long-term effects for our future adult workforce for those young people. So, and I love, it's my favorite poster from California, so don't be afraid to ask questions at the end here, and thank you for your attention.